Welcome to the Sunday night There Is a Solution newcomer and returning members meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Visit our website at oaontario.org, where you'll find this audio recording, additional podcasts, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. The opinions expressed are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. We will now introduce our speaker, a member who has at least 6 months of abstinence, has recovered through the directions in the Big Book, and maintains recovery on a daily basis. After this share, there will be time to make a comment or ask a question about the OA program or what the speaker has shared. Please help me welcome Russ M., a compulsive overeater from Pennsylvania. Welcome, Russ.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Russ M., recovered compulsive overeater outside of Philadelphia and PA in the U.S. So the reason why I'm here is because I'm a junkie. I'm an addict. And, you know, I don't want to be on a speaker circuit. I do it because I have to do this or this disease will kill me. I don't ever want to go back. And I got today, so I'm doing pretty good right now, right this second. I don't know, tonight I might be in a food crack house. You know, you don't know. You don't know. I take nothing for granted. And I'm grateful for all the time I have away from the food, all the time I have in this new life. So I'll try to make it quick. I tend to rattle on because I got a crazy story. But, you know, it's always been food since I was a little guy, since I'm about 7 years old. Always overweight, could never stop eating, had dreams about food. it was my friend, never had a headache, never said no to me. And I never got pulled over and got locked up by the cops because I had 40 chicken McNuggets in my car. Seemed to work for me. You know, I'm the youngest. I'm an only child. And I'm the only male of the Montalbano family. My grandfather was an immigrant, came over from Sicily. He was like a gangster, to be honest with you. Hate to say that, but it was. And I was the youngest out of five grandkids, and I was the only boy. I was named after him, and there was pressure on me from, I don't want to say day one, because I don't know that, but as a young kid, I knew it. And I always had this thing simmering up. I always had something in there that I had to quiet down. And at about 7 years old, I was molested by a cousin. And that complicated things. And then I started eating. Why? I don't know. Like I said, it just numbed me, kept me numb. I didn't have to deal with things, right? So it's been as long as I can remember. And in about 2017, I was at the point in my life where maybe 2015, that I'm going to die, not be able to have any control over food. I'm going to be a sickly person. I just accepted that. I accepted that way of life. But it was for all these years that I was obsessed over life, over food, not getting my way, not being able to manage life, not having the successes I wanted in life. You know, I don't want to make excuses. It's just my brain is wired a certain way. And I don't know how to deal with regular life. And that tends to amp up my anxiety level. An obsession about life, and that hamster running on that treadmill doesn't stop. So I needed something to quell it. I was fearful of cocaine. I was fearful of alcohol. I was fearful of heroin and drugs and marijuana and all these things because there's a stigmatism to that. If I eat, and I thought I'd be really addicted and then be a low life and never make nothing on myself anyway. That's, you know, that was the gist of it. And I was really afraid of my father and my grandfather. They would, you know, they'd hammer on me because I had this pressure under me. But, you know, I would come to my grandmother's house every day before I got to the door, before I even said hello, go eat. Oh, you had a bad day? I eat. Oh, your girlfriend left you? Eat. Everything was wrapped around food. So not their fault. It's just how I cope with it. It was a way to getting away from life. And, you know, I had periods of, kind of like the man of 30, you know, you have that period where you could stop. And I was about 15, 16 years old. You know, I wanted a girlfriend. Nobody would look at the chubby kid, the overweight kid, the unathletic kid. So I started working out, not obsessively. And I just watched a little bit what I ate. And I took off a lot of weight. And then by my senior year, I was creeping up again. I took weight off again. So it was a yo-yo thing for about, up until I was about 44. So 30 years of that. You know, I think I got about 1,000 pounds up and down over that time. And you know, I'm all over the place with this because it's stirring up some stuff now. I'm thinking about it, you know. And I just could never put it down. Could never put the shit down. I just could never do it. I had no control, no moderation. I just, you know, I heard recently, one turns into a box, right? I would kill all the different kind of foods that you could eat. I did it. And I tried the pills. I tried the workouts. I tried the shakes and this and that. I probably got about 100 grand in pills, potions, lotions, clothes, gym fees, all these different workouts. The next quick thing, I'm going to take this shark shell and it's going to shed the fat from me. I'm just going to sit home and eat what I want. You know, all these things that I thought could do it. And so when I was about, like I said, I'm a mess tonight. Huh? I'm all over the place. There's no coordination of the story. So when I was, you know, I got molested. Okay. It happened. And that was it one time. And, you know, your self-esteem is down, but there's one other thing than food that was like my obsession. It was pro wrestling, right? And I loved it. I saw Hulk Hogan 10 times in Philadelphia. I used to go to all the shows and it didn't keep me out of the food, but it kept me out of trouble. So food and wrestling. So I think in my high school days, I'm getting in shape. I'm going to be a pro wrestler because you know, I'm perfect shape to do that. I'm 5'0" and I was about 175 pounds soaking wet. But I'm going to do it. So I ended up doing it. And I did it for 5 years right out of high school. And I was on the road and it was actually a godsend because it gave me structure. I had to be at the venue a certain time. I had to have a meal prep. I had to work out. I had to be responsible. And I felt like I was making a name for myself. You know, I was proud of myself. And the goose hung high, right? The goose hung high. For those years, and I could stay out of the food, and it was, you know, the obsession was relatively down because I was living my dream. I was distracted from life because I really wasn't living a real life. I was just out on the road living my dream. It wasn't like reality. I had no kids. I had no real expenses. I was at home. I was pocketing money. I was living a dream. And then I got hurt. I dislocated my elbow, and I was getting beat up, man, and I was getting tired because I couldn't recuperate the way I wanted to. So I had a talk with my father, and my dad said, look, you're a smart kid, maybe go to school. So I became a chiropractor. I went into chiropractic school, but I never kind of grieved. I never dealt with that buildup of emotion over those years, and it kept simmering. And then here we go, creeping up, the obsession of life, having to make it, and I failed in wrestling, and I failed here. I failed. And, you know, I got to shut that down because it made me crazy, maybe nuts. I was starting chiropractic school. You know, you're holding 25 credits a semester, trimester, sometimes 30. You know, it was craziness. That pressure simmering. I can't control life. I can't wrap it up. I couldn't control what was going on in my life. My plan was not going the way I wanted to. They weren't reading my script. They weren't following my script. Life was kicking it was doing a job on me. It was putting manners on me. I had to grow the hell up and I didn't want to. So I think my first year in chiropractic school, I blew up to, I don't know. I got 45 pounds in the first year. It was a mess. then I'm going to get married. I got great woman, one of the best. Oh, it's all awesome. I take the weight off, did that diet, shrunk down. We got married. I come home. I started practice. I failed at one doctor. I was an associate. I failed there. I didn't deal with that. My wife gets pregnant. I lose my job. I got to start my own job. The pressure's simmering. I'm blowing up. I'm eating again. You know, going out on binges, like craziness, crazy shit. Like, you know, $60, $70 a day that I didn't have. And we got kids. Then I have another kid. Then my third kid comes. Then my fourth kid is sick. And we're spending time down at Children's Hospital. My dad's in the hospital. The old man passes away. My daughter's in the hospital. How am I supposed to deal with all this life? I eat. And I just went off the deep end in 2008. So not too long after that, 2009, a good buddy of mine was in my old office, right? And we're talking. And he was a recovered crack addict. And I know him through music. I play in a band. I've played music over the years. And I said, John, look, I'm having an issue with this food. I think I'm addicted. What should I do? You got free from crack. How did you do that? He said, why don't you try a 12-step program? He 12-stepped me, but it was like he was just being my boy. He wasn't like trying to hit me with the business. Oh, you should try. He just said, try a 12-step program. I was like, the frick do I need a 12-step program? That's for weak people. What the hell are you talking about? Right? And he said, look, you don't know you need, he goes, you don't know you need it until you know you need it. He's like, if you have a problem, this could be a solution for you. So Amazon was just starting, like really just starting to catch momentum with the books. So I got the, what's the name book? The 12 and 12 of OA. And I read the first step and I threw the book down. So I'm done with this crap. I said, that's for weak people. My nickname, my ring name, that is Russ Money. Why? I don't know. I came up in the hood. This is what my friends called me, Russ Money. Still to this day, I'm old, broken down man. Russ Money. That's okay. I said, I'm Russ Money. I don't need this shit. And I threw it down, to be honest with you. And from 2009 to 2017 were my worst years. It was so progressively bad. My health, my mental state, the way I treated my five kids, the things I prayed for. This great, beautiful, wonderful person that God gave me, my wife, and this family, this boatload of riches I had, I couldn't appreciate. I was a miserable bastard. I couldn't deal with life. I failed miserably. I lost my practice. And that was a crushing blow. And I was in bad shape mentally. I had to take another job with another doctor who I knew my whole life. And, you know, he was there to bail me out. So Friday the 13th. Now, in this time, I lost, I don't know how much money I lost, you know, from stupid mistakes. And I was in hock, a lot of debt. My kids, my older three kids, didn't want to talk to me because I was like a maniac. They say the bear's up. The bear's up. They would just steer clear of me. I was an embarrassment to my family. The relationships were the drizzling shits. They were terrible. I lost friends, good friends. But I'm blessed because I have some real true friends that stuck, that kind of dusted me the hell off and stayed with me through this mess, what this disease did to me. And, you know, I did everything. I tried everything. I was at my wit's end. You know, I you know, you always contemplate you want to get out of here. But I was so deranged in my mind. I thought if I tried to kill myself, I'd probably screw that the hell up too, because I screwed everything up. I wouldn't even be able to do that right, to be frank with you. I know it sounds sick, but that's the way I thought. And Friday 13th of January of 2017, we're in the kitchen, my wife and I snapped at her and yelled at her. She said, kids, go upstairs. And she said, look, now this is my best friend. She says, if you don't get your stuff together, we're out, we're leaving. And She said, I'm going to go to my mom's for a couple hours. Figure out what you want to do. And it was like out of a movie, man. Like I just, everything just went right by me. And I said, this damn disease, whatever it is, has got me so crazy. It stole everything from me. It stole athletics that I loved as a kid. It stole my friends. It stole my self-esteem. It stole my identity in God. Like I'm a child of God. It stole everything from me. I can't let this steal my family. And I was at the rock bottom. Prior to that, about 6 months, I was listening to podcasts, right? Just listening. I wasn't ready to take the step, but John had planted that seed 8 years before. I was getting pretty bad. So five, six months before I'm listening to all these podcasts, I stumble on Harwin's podcast, 2010 birthday party. I didn't even know what the hell they're talking about, but I knew this guy was 700 pounds, wrote bad checks, hurt a lot of people, and God gave him his life back. He had freedom. He spoke of freedom. And I heard this from many people on these podcasts. So I had been snooping around where these meetings were, face-to-face meetings. So I was going to go every week, but I never went until my wife gave me that ultimatum. Now, that night, Friday the 13th, my wife's down at my mother-in-law's, and I get the phone. And I got the number for an outreach person for a meeting that's maybe a mile and a half from my house, right? Now, I told you, I wrestled. Now, I wrestled in Puerto Rico in front of 10,000 people. I had no fear at all. But to dial to, honest to goodness, to dial those numbers to this lady for this meeting to let them know I'm coming, just to make it out. I don't even know what the hell purpose of it was. I just said, Lord, help me dial this number. I'm going to die if my family leaves me. I don't have no purpose of living. I dialed the number. Lady Grace picks up. She says, don't worry, honey. I'm not going to be there. I got somebody there for you. Just show up at 8. Be there. I'll be there. I went. And it was not a big book meeting. It was more of like a literature meeting. It's just a different OA meeting, not kind of big book study, but I didn't know. I was desperate. And first thing I heard, the reading that they were rotating, they rotate this book, the big book. And what they rotated was, rarely have we seen someone fail that thoroughly followed our path. And I heard that, and it was like the door got kicked in just a little bit. Like I had a shot. I failed at everything, not just from the disease. I'm hard-headed. I'm gabagool. I'm a Sicilian. I think I know everything because I went to school. I studied. It's all baloney. I brought on a lot. Most of the stuff was brought by me, not just the disease. I don't want to just pimp out the disease. It's part of it. But That how it works, that first line gave me hope that I could get free. And the newcomer meeting person said to me, look, just come back. Okay. What do I do? Saturday night, I eat like crazy. Sunday night, I eat like crazy. Monday night, I eat like crazy. And then Tuesday morning, I was physically tired of eating. I was just tired. I had it. And I knelt down in my kitchen in front of the dishwasher and the fridge. And I said, Lord, I'm done, man. Whatever I got to do, I'm going to do. And that's it. And they got me. I tried doing it for like a week on my own, because I know everything. I'm bigger than a program. And I got a sponsor. And then he was just like, report your food. There was no steps or anything. I'm like, this is a 12-step program. Like, what's the steps have to do with it? I was very much a newbie. So I said, I did do a little bit of self-will until the Lord got me the vision for you. Until God got me the vision for you. I said, it's a 12-step program. There's got to be prayers. So what I did, honest to goodness, what I did, I searched the internet. It was like silkwork.net or something like that. And I'm like, silkwork, what the hell is that? Right. I got all the prayers that corresponded to the steps, and I prayed them every day at work, and it kept me free for like a month and a half. And then don't go into six meetings a week, five meetings a week. They slipped me this paper. There's a phone meeting called Vision for You. I jump on that meeting and I hear the big book and I hear Harlem. And I'm like, oh my goodness, it's the dude I heard, you know. Day later, 2 days later, on a Wednesday, I get this phone number, 917 from New York. I pick up and say, hey, bro, what's up, man? How you doing, bro? It's Charles, Charles H., right? He goes, yo. He goes, I'm going to help you out, bro. I'm going to help you out. He goes, you know, you're a newcomer. We're going to work this out. So he would read with me. And I was scared. I didn't want to ask him to be my sponsor. But I knew with this other sponsor, we're not working any steps. I'm going to go off the deep end. It was getting real, real, real kind of dicey there, you know? So I finally said, look, Charles, man, you've been working with me for 3 weeks. It was around February, right? I said, can you be my sponsor? He goes, look, bro, I got too many guys. He said, but I got somebody for you. You're going to call this number right now. It was Craig F. I picked up Craig. Craig picked up that phone. He said, listen, I appreciate your story and all that. He said, but we're not here to talk. We're here to work. And he had to give me a little tough love right in the beginning, kick me in the pants, and we worked the steps. And I had a great year. Went through everything, you know, it was hard. It was tough. I didn't want to face it, but I could feel like just things coming off of me and tensions coming down. And now I have the 10th step to get this damn emotion off of me. And I'm praying more than I ever did. And I'm working with guys and I'm reinforcing my program. And I'm digging in. I'm carving out time. It's like, how am I getting this done? It's a miracle. And, you know, I was riding a little pink cloud. And then a financial issue happened with the family. I'm freaking out around a year later, right? In the April of 2018. But Craig was there. I asked God to help me. He showed me different things. We got stuff handled. Our family got stuff handled. Now, if I'm in program, I'm dead. $500,000 or real estate, a lot of things involved that I had not too much to do with. But it was because of my dad's estate and this, so on. Things were not done. But if I didn't have this program, I would have ate my face off. They would have found me dead in the car. It's only through the grace of God that that's anything that I'm even talking to you. So I just keep working with people. Now, I work the steps a couple more times. Sometimes I feel like I'm still edgy about other stuff. So Craig, I'm still with Craig after 6 years. Thank God. Thank God. Through the grace of God, I got 6 years clean. Now, if that ain't a miracle, nothing's a miracle. I tried hundreds of times to get free. Every time I think it's a bullshit story, every time I look at the thing and say, I might just be on a diet. Come on, man. You know, you get the guy on the left side and right side telling you different things. Then I look back and see how bad a train wreck things were. My wife and I are best friends right now. We're very close. And we worked through our issues. God restored that relationship. My mother-in-law wanted to knock me out every time she saw me. I'm very close with. We don't agree on everything, but I love her. And that's it. And she don't agree with everything I say. But my wife said, there's your bestie. That's your best friend now, right? My mom, we had our ups and downs over our life. It's just what it is. We're close. I got 5 kids. My oldest is going to be 22. I got one that's going to be 20, one that's 18, one that's 16, a miracle baby, the one that had all her health issues. She'll be 16 and 11. I got a chance with the younger ones to make up for what I didn't do with the older ones. But now the older ones, this, you can't tell me this ain't a miracle. And it's because of program and what's that? Enlarging my spiritual life and working at not letting this damn disease control me and surrendering to God, which sometimes I don't want to do. I got a band with my wife and my kids, my 3 older kids. We, the 4 of us, my goddaughter and my daughter's best friend, for almost, I guess it's 2 years now. March will be 2 years. We've been playing all over Philly. Like my kids, they didn't want to talk to me. They didn't want to have nothing to do with me. I was a deadbeat. You know, I was a bum. God restored that. And it's through working these steps, the hardest, the shit that I didn't want to do. the stuff that I did not want to do, the things that I thought I was too smart for, God gave me this back. He gave me it back. I got my own practice again. I can't believe it. It's small. I'm doing it on my own. Thank God. It's cool. I'm growing up. I'm starting to mature. I just turned 50. God has given me my life back. I mean, it ain't all roses. I'm probably not going to hit a million. I'm probably not going to be father of the year or husband of the year. But it's better. It's better. And now I have this way of life that can combat the BS of regular life when it tries to kick you in the face. And you know, today, let me share this with you. They're doing a little documentary. One of my niece's good friend goes to LaSalle down in Philadelphia. It's a communications college. And they're doing a little mini documentary on our band. And I'm sitting here today, almost in tears. They're questioning, they're doing a little interview. And I'm thinking, like, how the heck did this happen? I'm with my kids. Like, there's no other way. Thank you. There's no other way this happened. No other way. Through the grace of God, surrendering everything I can, even when it's painful and it hurts, even when life is not giving me what I want. Just digging in, praying, doing the work. You know, I can't believe it. Look, it's not a perfect life. I got to go to work tomorrow. I get tired of people. My Sicilian gets up. People get on my damn nerves. I'm sure I get on their nerves, right? But I'm going to, I'm healthy enough to do it. I'm able to go to my own place. You know, Tuesdays I get to rehearse. Tuesday, Thursday, I rehearse with my kids and our band. And now we're playing in church back again, which we have a worship team. That's where it all started, the music thing. And every one of my kids, my wife, my niece, my best friend, we're playing as a family. Like, only the grace of God is doing that. Listen, I'm not saying you got to be a religious zealot or nothing like that. I'm saying this is how God manifests to me. This is how it happened for me. I was losing everything. I was at the door. I was gone. Like, I know it's crazy over food, over this mean get food, this stupid thing that controlled me for all these years. And now people say, hey, man, you're Sicilian. How do you not eat pasta? I don't eat it. I eat freaking truckloads of it. How do you not eat pizza? I don't eat it, man. It destroyed me. It's a miracle. That's an act of God, but it's because I was broken enough to accept a little bit of help. I was in the right place at the right time. If it was any other time, I'd probably be dead. I mean, it was pretty bad. This thing ravaged me. And it, maybe, you know, what's bad for one might not be bad for the other, but I was in bad shape. I'm not saying I'm better than anybody. I don't mean it in that fashion. Like, I'm the greatest junkie. Now, I'm not in a contest to be a great junkie. I wish I would never was. But looking back, I'm glad all this stuff has happened. I'm glad. I feel blessed that I'm a compulsive overeater and I have, you know, AA and OA. Because I wouldn't have the good, you know, I wouldn't have the life I have now. And that's the gist of it. Sorry I was all over the place, but, you know, I hurt a lot of people, and a lot of people helped me freely. And if I can help you out, I'm around. My number's in there, man. I'm willing to help. So thank you very much for letting me share and be a part of this meeting.